All of our children can go with Miss Gwen to our Children of God time. And for all the adults staying here in the sanctuary, please take out your Bibles. And I want you to turn a little bit this morning to the very beginning of the book of Revelation. We're going to go back before we go forward. And I promise this will make sense a little bit later in the service. But I want to remind us of why we're studying the book of Revelation as we continue in some very, very difficult chapters. Today we're in chapter 13, and it's dark and it's difficult. And if you just camp out just in chapter 13, the blackness and the persecution and things can quickly overwhelm you. So I want to, again, get us to pull back and look at the purpose of the whole book of Revelation before we dive into chapter 13, that it might make sense. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he went and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And here, this is us, church. Listen to this words very carefully in verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of the prophecy, and those who heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. We've been talking about this all through the study of the book of Revelation, that every page, every chapter has over it this theme of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so as we go through each chapter, and particularly as we look at chapter 13, the first part of it today, I want to ask you a question. Where do you see Jesus in chapter 13 today? He's there. It's not overt. You have to look for Jesus. His name doesn't just jump out of the page at you. You have to think carefully about what the text says in order to find where is Jesus in these 11 verses. So let's go slowly now through Revelation chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. And then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horn were 10 diadems. And on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him? There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. And authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise God for his word to us, that we can study it and learn from it and grow from it. Well, the passage that we are studying today describes the rule and the authority of one that the Bible calls the Antichrist. And before we go back through chapter 13, verse by verse, I want to take a little survey of the Bible to see what we can learn about the Antichrist. What does Scripture say about him? First, his name means against Christ or in place of Christ. He is known by a number of different names throughout Scripture in addition to the Antichrist. He's called the man of lawlessness. He's called the beast out of the sea. That's how he appears here in chapter 13. He is also called the son of destruction. Now, this Antichrist, this beast out of the sea, is empowered by Satan himself. And he rises to power during the 7-year period of the tribulation. And we'll see today his work during the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period of the tribulation. As the Antichrist rises to worldwide domination and power, he will deceive the world. And he will demand that the world bow in worship of him. As part of that, he will perform false miracles. And he will prohibit the worship of the Lord God and Jesus Christ. And all who do worship him will be martyred. And we'll look at specifically how that appears in chapter 13. Now you can imagine a worldwide leader rising up during the times that we've been studying. It's going to be a very difficult and dark time in the world. By chapter 13, over half of the population of the world is gone. From first the seal judgments and then the trumpet judgments. By the time the sixth trumpet sounds, half of the world's population is dead. So just think about that today. Our world has 8 billion people. Imagine in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, 4 billion people dying. It's a horrible time. It's a horrible scene. And in the midst of that, people are looking for a solution. There's earthquakes and famine. There's no fresh water to drink. And out of nowhere arises this guy, the Antichrist, who's able to do miracles and somehow provide for people. And people begin to finally say, here's the guy we've been looking for. And they bow down and worship him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote these words about the Antichrist. He said, the one who is coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth so as to be saved. Paul also taught that through the rule of the Antichrist, it'll be brutal for a time, but it will not last. Paul said, the man of lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. So while the rule of the Antichrist for a period of 42 months or 3.5 years will be brutal over the world, it will be short-lived. And Paul promises us here in 2 Thessalonians that Jesus Christ himself will slay the Antichrist. So now that we have some footing or some background about the Antichrist, let's go back into our text for today and understand about the career of the Antichrist and what he's doing. Verse 1, the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. And then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave himself power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Here John in the Revelation in chapter 13 says that the dragon or Satan empowers this beast that rises up out of the sea, who we know as the Antichrist. Satan literally inhabits the Antichrist and enables him to do the things that he does and is described here in chapter 13 and following. Remember back to chapter 12, which Jerry talked about last week in verse 9, the dragon or Satan was expelled out of access into heaven. And so now Satan is roaming around the earth doing what Satan does, looking for people to devour. Here in chapter 13, verse 1, he says, Satan or the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. He's here on earth to do his bidding during this time of great tribulation. And the Antichrist rises to power as the worldwide political ruler. He is described here as the beast out of the sea who had 10 horns, which represent 10 major kings or kingdoms that will be of prominence during the period of the tribulation. He also sees 7 heads that this beast had, which is indicative of 7 dominant superpowers of the past of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the 7th head represents the reign and the rule of the Antichrist at the end of the age. John sees that the 10 horns have 10 diadems or 10 crowns upon those heads, which represent the rule and authority and power of those kings. And John sees blasphemous names that are written over this beast, which indicates the worship of the beast and of the kings of the worldwide rulers that will occur during this time. The Antichrist, this political ruler, was prophesied in part by the prophet Daniel. Now, Daniel saw 3 different beasts. He saw a leopard, he saw a bear, and a lion, each representing successive world superpowers in order of Babylon and Persia and Greece. This beast that John sees is a combination of a leopard, a bear, and lion, a combination of the dominance of the world superpowers of the past, indicating that this beast, this man, the Antichrist, is going to rule with an iron fist during this period of time. Robert Thomas, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, writes this, quote, "The dragon works through the beast, the Antichrist. The war is of Satan's making, but the ruler and his empire is his tool for waging it. Satan claims such power when tempting Christ, but never does he exercise it in such a direct and blatant way as he will when his champion, the beast, the Antichrist, emerges as the world leader," end quote. Now, this Antichrist, he appears to John as a ruler as if he had been slain. The Antichrist, during his reign and rule, will mimic the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no doubt, because he appears to have died and to appears, to have risen again, it will enhance his worldwide appeal to many who see his power, and they will become convinced that he is a God. Verse 4. "They worship the dragon," or Satan, "because he gave his authority to the beast," or to the Antichrist. "And they worship the beast, saying, 'Who's like the beast, and who's able to wage war with him?' There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints." As John unravels the rule of the Antichrist, he's making us aware that for 3.5 years, the Antichrist will lead the world as its chief ruler. And as he does that, he will demand worship of all people, worship of the dragon who is Satan, and worship of himself, of the beast, of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the beast, will lead the world to blaspheme God. They will profane his name, and they will call people to reject the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ as his son. Remember, Satan wants to set himself up as God, and so he tries to be a kingdom like the kingdom of God. Remember what the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." So what is Satan trying to do during this reign and rule? He's trying to put himself in a position of rule and authority and power in the world. The second commandment says, you shall not make an idol for yourself, and you shall not worship or serve them. Satan wants to be worshiped and served, and so he will have idols erected in his name and will cause people to bow down and worship to him. The third commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And here we hear John tell us of the blasphemies, that will be spoken against God's very name. So notice what's happening here in Revelation chapter 13. Satan, through the Antichrist, demands that people all around the world will substitute true and honest and authentic worship of God and replace that with worship of dragon and the beast. John tells us that worshiping Satan and the Antichrist will not be optional. And those who choose not to bow down and worship will be persecuted. Verse 7 says it was given to him to make war with the saints. That's us, church. That's everyone who has a faith and belief in Jesus Christ. The worldwide war will go on. Everybody who names the name of Jesus during this period of the tribulation will be made war against by the dragon and the beast, by Satan and the Antichrist. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, no one, even in the remotest tribe of the world, will be able to escape the persecution if you're a believer during this time. It will be an extremely difficult time to be a Christian during these 3.5 years of the tribulation. Satan and the Antichrist will oppose all those who will not fall down and worship. Verse 8 says, all who dwell on earth will worship him. Now notice here that all doesn't mean 100% of the people. Because as this text makes clear, there are some that will refuse to bow down. But the fate of those who fail to bow down will be death. We studied earlier in chapter 6 where there's a great throng before the throne of God who have been martyred during the period of the tribulation. And they're calling out before God, Lord, how long? How much longer do we have to wait until your vengeance is complete? Until Jesus returns. And then again in chapter 7, there's another massive scene of saints in worship before God, continuing to cry out to God in praise and worship. These are saints that have been martyred during the period of the tribulation. There will be millions upon millions who are Christians during this time who will go to their death because they will not bow down and worship the dragon or the beast. The text says, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life, who has been slain, they will worship him. But the truth is, those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life, who by faith, through grace, and trust in Jesus Christ have their names recorded, they will not bow down. And for those Christians during the period of the tribulation, they will be made secure, not necessarily safe in this world. Their eternal destiny will be secure, as Jesus promised in John's gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. Doesn't say they won't die. It means they're not going to perish. They may not experience eternal conscious punishment in hell. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So remember, when we began today, I started with Revelation chapter 1 and says, where is Jesus in the midst of this blackness and darkness? Where is he? And the answer is, John tells us here in Revelation chapter 13 that he is working in a way that we cannot see. Those who, by faith, who have believed in him are secure because of what he did upon the cross. And so while they may experience torture and persecution and imprisonment, and many of them death, he will hold them. That's how Jesus shows up here in chapter 13. It is his promise. He's saying, hang in there, those who are enduring during the tribulation. For you will not perish eternally. So today, church, let's use this message from chapter 13 to just pause and thank God during this month of Thanksgiving. Thank God that He has saved your soul from the destruction of Satan. This promise in Revelation chapter 13, if your name is in the book of life, which there's only one way it gets there, by belief in Jesus Christ, your eternal destiny is secure. Nothing can take it away from you. And so thank God today. Thank Him every day during this month. Our brother Stephen, during our worship time this morning, challenged you, and I just want to echo that. Take 5 minutes every day to be thankful and worship during this month of Thanksgiving. Secondly, stand strong in your faith in Jesus Christ. We see these saints who believe in Jesus Christ are going to have a very horrible and difficult time during the period of the tribulation. And while we're not engaged, at least I don't believe we're engaged right now in the period the Bible calls the tribulation, it is nonetheless a very difficult time for many in our church and our fellowship and in our community around our country and around the world, because we're engaged in a spiritual battle every day. It is every day, church. And if you could sit in my office for just a couple of days, you would have your eyes open like saucers to see how the enemy is waging war in our families, in our church, in our community, in very real ways. So stand strong, church. Don't give up the battle. Keep pushing, because the eternal destiny of souls are at stake here. Be aware of what Satan is trying to do. See what his schemes are. And stand strong in your faith. These words are words of encouragement. Persevere is the word of the day here in chapter 13. John tells us to persevere, to press on, to not give up. Verse 9 says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. In other words, pay attention. In other words, keep pushing forward. Don't give up, church. So I just want to ask you today, is your name in the book of life? Have you, by faith, through grace, trusted in Jesus Christ alone? Have you confessed your sins to Him? Have you believed in Him? Have you received from Him that gift of eternal life? And if you have, man, praise God for that. And He has you in the palm of His hand. You are secure. And if you haven't, whether you're here in our sanctuary today or whether you're watching this on the live stream or watching it later on YouTube, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, do it today. The time is today to turn from sin and turn to the Lord and trust in Him. And if you do that, whether you're here today or you're watching online, reach out to us here at church that we can comfort you and encourage you and walk alongside of you in your faith as you begin a walk with Jesus Christ. Let's pray now. God, these words in the middle chapters of the book of Revelation are very, very, very challenging for us. They're discouraging because we see the power of Satan. We see the reign of the Antichrist in his rule. We see how harsh, how demanding, how guile, how just downright awful his rule over this earth will be. But God, you've promised us right here in this text today that it's a short period of time. It'll only be for a few years, a few months. God, some of us are going through really, really dark and difficult times right now. And God, we want to take a moment to pray for them. You know who you are, church members. You know the spiritual battle that you're engaged in. And you know how challenging it is for you right now. And so I stand alongside of you, and our whole church stands alongside of you. Please, please, walk with us. If you're fighting this battle on your own, please let us know. Please call here. Pastor Jerry and I and the elders will walk through whatever challenge you're facing. We will be with you. We'll war with you. God, help us not to be discouraged, not to give up, but to stand firm in our faith of the one who's conquered it all. And you tell us right here in this chapter that the end is coming for the beast and for the dragon. What a glorious ending it will be for them. When you reign and rule not only on this earth, but over the whole universe forever and ever. When every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. Lord, until those days when we can praise and thank you and worship you in your presence, we will praise and worship and thank you here on this earth. With every day, with every breath that we have, God, we praise your great name. Now, God, we come to pray for those in our church and those associated with our church in different ways who are in need of prayer now. So Pastor Jerry will come and lift those prayers up just now.